yours or?
Yeah. Oh, mine at least.
Anything that has to do
with him. That would have been hilarious. We want to welcome our record number of class attendants.
Yes.
Five.
CF was going down the
Well, CF had six.
Hall and he was counting.
All right, so does anybody want to open us up in a word of prayer? No pressure.
I'll do it.
All right, thank you.
Lord God, we thank you that we are in Christ. And because of that, Lord, we are saints. We thank you, Father, for that word this morning. We pray, Father, for this class. We thank you, Lord, that we could study your word together where two or more are gathered. You are here with us. We thank you, Lord, for the protection that I know that you provide to your people, Lord. We pray that those who are traveling to or from, Lord, that you will give them safety, protect them, Lord, in this weather. We ask, Father, that we would be able to learn today and apply your word to our lives for your glory and for your honor. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, thank you. All right, so.
Man, I can still smell it.
Yeah, it's a grandma. All right, so remember, in our text, there's five. I'm really just talking to. There's five sections in our text, right? So we are starting the fourth section, humility. My point is stay with us. We've done 23 weeks. We have 13 more to go.
You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it. You can help.
All right, so question. What's the one thing these folks have in common? We got our tattooed Gucci mugshot. We got a thug wannabe about to blow a 9mm hole.
Something with the law.
Here's a doctor.
They have laws.
They're all over 40.
Doctor, muscle bound, tattooed up. Caught.
No, he's younger. We have a
pit. He's like,
we have two.
They are children of God. I have Jesus loves them.
Yes.
I have strong opinions on all of them.
Okay, no.
That's the only thing I could think of.
Oh, okay.
They are mostly men.
Yeah, the guys are. Yeah.
Okay, they have what?
Street cred. They have street cred, right? I mean, they all look the part.
Can you go back?
Okay. Don't they look the part?
I was going to say, they look the part that they're in. Like, they feel almost a
okay,
their role, right?
That
yeah.
Man right there with the money.
Yeah, that's what old men look
like.
Casinos.
Florida.
Old rich
they
white
look
guy.
Look like they're going to Florida, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's going to go to Saltgrass now.
For his third first anniversary.
That one done, right? He should be like 50 more pounds.
But doesn't he have some street cred? I mean, on a sunny day, he has his sunglasses up. That's just so typical, right?
At least on the back of his head. I'm good with that.
So look, the guy with a little gray hair here. Doesn't he look smart? And he's holding his glasses, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the two white people are in front of the two black people.
Stereotypes,
right? No, it's a stereotype, right?
It is.
And then, you know, he's got his steel jaw set against the force that's in opposition
that?
Politically.
Joe Biden?
Yeah.
I can't
that's
see
Joe
that
Biden.
I don't have my glasses
can't
on.
See.
You're not missing anything. And so then you got this 14-year-old punk.
He is.
Really?
I'm just describing.
In Sunday school?
Really?
It was my sister. She could be in a panic.
She could be.
She
you
could
need
be
to answer
be.
That.
What do you mean?
So then we got the thug, right? I mean, all these people have their role, and within that role, they're the top dogs, right? So, street cred.
Okay, cool.
So, to earn the credibility. And OG, y'all know what OG stands for?
Original gangster.
Yeah. So.
I was going to say Olive Garden, but
OG, original gangster. So, I know what I look like, right? It's taken me years in my work environment. Let me just say, it came out wrong. I know what my appearance
portrays
is interpreted by others in a work environment, right? To inmates, I look like this rich white guy who's never had a lick of problems in his life.
Oh, my goodness.
So, when I was at Estelle one time, we had a really thuggish, trashy inmate. And he ended up kind of getting his act together and ended up getting promoted in custody twice, and he ended up getting a promotion to become a janitor. His job was a janitor in the hallway, and this one day the section of the hallway was in front of my department, and so we ended up just chit-chatting, talking, and he mentioned that he was from Fort Worth. And I said, I'm from Fort Worth. He said, really? What part of town? I said, man, you probably don't, you know, not familiar with it. It's called Westworth Village. Oh, I know exactly where Westworth Village is. It's right next to White Settlement. Yeah. He goes, man, I grew up in Como. So The Westworth Village was the white trash meth area of Fort Worth at the time, and Como was the black crack trash area, right? And then we had Little Mexico next to that. So we were from basically neighboring trash neighborhoods. Are you familiar with Fort Worth?
No, I've just heard of it.
Okay. So he was like, oh, Mr. Sanders, you OG. And then from that point on, I had all the credibility I needed with this dude to get a lot of things done that I needed to get done on the unit. So because just where I was from, right, I there's a disparity between what I looked like and what I kind of made of my life from their perspective compared to where I had come from, right? Just saying that gave me that street cred. So, think of these sorts of things in this entire section on humility. So it's subtitled How Credibility is Earned, right? So within that, we're looking at the chapter. Today we're going to start Humility, the Forgotten Path. Next 2 weeks, or 2 weeks from now, Chris is going to do Respect, Breaking Down Walls. Then I'm going to finish up the section with Persuasion. And what's kind of funny about this whole thing, I've laughed about it before, is the way that our chapters have broken down. I don't know about you, but for me, the topics are about my weaknesses, right? I mean, I'm not an optimist, right? I don't like my faith tested, I don't know who does. I'm not a hopeful person. I'm not a very humble person. And I'm a very warfare-minded person, right? Love is like secondary. I'm a warfare, aggressive, type person, right?
Spiritual.
Just
spritch it on you.
Yeah, make fun of me. And I can be made fun of. I have a lot of humility.
Now.
So this is that section 4. And then our final section, remember 13 weeks, the power of perspective. And that's going to be kind of that hindsight, right? We don't have perspective looking forward. It's the wisdom we gain from the past that portrays to the front. So humility, how credibility is earned. Seeking credibility in whose eyes?
Seeking credibility.
So, yeah, the section is how credibility is earned. In whose eyes are we seeking credit to be credible?
God's eyes.
God's eyes?
You're asking who we should be or who we do?
Yes, okay. Both. I mean, you only have three options, in my opinion, right? The Lord, self, and others. And so, if you're self-credible, is really kind of self-confident.
Yeah.
Right? So, they're kind of tied together. And if you're credible, like if Chris, if I'm credible in Chris's eyes of working on a car, then he has confidence in me because I have confidence in me. And I have confidence in me maybe because I went to school or was raised being taught these things, right? So, the question is, in whose eyes are you seeking credibility? That's like not a rhetorical question.
You sort of want to be all three, right?
Okay.
I mean, really. I mean, if you don't have any credibility, you don't think anything of yourself as far as ability, credibility. So I think you have to be all three. But actually, when I think about credibility, it's what really counts as far as my ability to be functional and minister is credibility among others.
Mm-hmm. And is this only in ministry? I mean, are you talking about, or just in life in general? Is this question applied to everything, or just walk your faith?
Well, I mean, really, this whole book, I mean, look, that's a good point. Remember, the whole book is Thriving in Babylon, right? It's basically living a successful life. We have to qualify what success means. But it's living a successful life in amongst this Babylon. And so,
hey, credibility can be earned by having confidence in the Lord that, like, He will basically speak through you. And when you have a relationship with Him, you earn credibility through that. People will be able to see that will radiate off you. But you do need credibility in other people's eyes to even share the gospel. Like, it doesn't sound, you don't want to say that you need all your credibility in others, but in a way that you're not going to be able to share the gospel with others. They're not going to be willing to listen to you. They think, I mean, if you say all this stuff, then you act completely differently. Then those people aren't, you're going to have zero credibility in their eyes and they're not going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm. So in our men's study, which you should be coming to starting next Monday.
We'll be there.
Next Monday at 5:30 for free pizza.
Oh, you'll be at work.
I can come straight from work. I got up at 6.
Video starts at 6. But one of the guys we're going to show videos on, he is really big into the anti-abortion, right? He's out of Arizona. And I think of this dilemma with fighting against abortion. I mean, can you really reach people by having a bullhorn and there's this y'all's age couple walking in there, you know exactly you're into Planned Parenthood. It's not to get on the pill or something like that, you know. And the dudes with the bullhorn, if I'm really aggressive and I'm in that persuasion warfare model, you're going to hell! I mean, that doesn't really win a whole lot, right? I'm not a credible person because you could put me in that box of crazy lunatic, Bible-thumping, Southern Baptist.
We have a guy on campus that does that, and he lost, like, he has zero credibility. Every Christian that we, I mean, Jared, I'm saying. But he, I mean, like, everyone, I mean, we're kind of sad that it represents us as Christians because it puts on that idea for people who aren't Christians on campus, and then they think everyone's going to look like that. He loses all credibility when he does.
And it puts y'all in defensive mode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Having to explain away.
Absolutely.
Some differentiation and distance,
methods.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the answer to this question really shows your motive. Right? I mean, because what we do really shows our motive, because our motive is truly based on our goal of accomplishing a certain consequence or goal or outcome. Right? So if I'm so focused on getting credibility with others, doesn't that really reflect that I have that lack of confidence in myself, credibility with myself?
Yeah. Well, actually, no. Let me just say, Daniel earned credibility with others when he was in Babylon, right? When he, and that's how he had a platform.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think he needed to have a motive to be credible in front of them. So, is that a bad motive?
Well, he was sold out to what he understood God's expectations were.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, yeah.
And God, I believe God blessed that with the credibility. It could have gone a different way. He could not have been graced with the ability. I mean, he could not have been given the permission to follow that diet.
Well, how many people might have been just in Daniel's shoes, but the first time he bucks up, he gets his head lopped off, and he's not written in history. We don't know him. That might have been a million cases.
Yeah.
And one dude stands out, and we know about him. Forget about all the other martyrs.
But
you know?
It did give him credibility. I mean, and it did come... It did.
Oh, yeah, he influenced two different
Absolutely.
Kings, right? Yeah, he got promoted every time he did the right thing, even when it went against the grain.
Mm-hmm.
That other cats were getting killed for at the same time. Now, granted, he did end up in the furnace, which should have killed him, but...
But also having credibility and, like... I have gained credibility and time in the work that I do, and that credibility puts me into the lives of people I might not otherwise be in. And then when I serve them as completely as I try to serve them, and I build relationship with them, and they come to trust me and stuff, then I also have a different influence in their life now. That has nothing to do with the work that I'm doing for them, but has everything to do with who I become in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that credibility, just even in your profession. Or where we are in the midst of our Babylon, can play into the relationships that ultimately end up.
Yeah. And anyway, and I've said this before in here, you are responsible for your reputation. And that truth is related to this, right? Because, yeah, you have to be the source that other folks will open their ear toward.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So as always, we go to our handy-dandy Merriam-Webster. Have y'all ever done this? Looked up the word humility in the dictionary?
Probably not.
It is so in depth. It's nuts. It's defined as freedom from pride or arrogance.
Oh.
That is
we're so in depth.
That is literally the definition in the dictionary. Freedom from pride or arrogance. It's kind of
That's
interesting.
That's so inadequate.
It
really
That's
is.
So
it is disappointing. And so I did, I was telling Chris this morning, I did as much research as I could into like the hard copy resources I have. You get online and everybody, when you talk about humility, everybody makes reference to it in what it's lacking, what it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's the absence of this, the absence of this. And so if you don't know anything otherwise, you're left with just an empty box of air because there's nothing that's been put into it, or whatever you project would be real and true because they've pulled all the other things out.
Yeah.
So our worldly selfish humility is something like, oh, he came from humble beginnings. I mean, what does that mean? He comes from humble
beginnings. It's like the rags to riches story.
Mm-hmm. Bro. Which is really pride.
Yeah, exactly. Look at me. Yeah, which is really not the definition, even though it talks about absence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's we really screwed it up, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't remember who it was, but last week I think you brought up humility about this week, and somebody in our group said something like, well, if you talk about it, then that just shows you're not. If you talk about how humble you are, then it shows you're not.
Saying I'm the most humble person in the room.
Right? Yeah.
Now, saying that could be true, but it could be also filled with pride or
arrogance. That's what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We assume that is the nature of it. But what if it's true? What if you are the most humble person
then
in the
room?
Then you wouldn't say it.
Yeah. I think somebody else would say it like, man, you're...
See, I don't... After doing this research, I don't agree with that anymore. Because... We're going to look at some verses where Jesus says things that to us, we're like, dude, and we know nothing about this guy. All we know is that he's in the history book. If you read these things from an outsider's perspective, it's like, man, he is arrogant. Because the reality is, what did he say? He's equating himself to God and to a hyper-religious society and culture and the educated lawyers and preachers and teachers. They wanted to kill him as a result, right? We all know that. That aspect of it all. But real humility is real.
It's interesting because when you think of Jesus, yes, he's God. Is he humble or did he humble himself? Because there's a big difference.
And it's both. Yeah, it's kind of the process and then his man.
Because we were reading through it yesterday much more. In Philippians 2, it mentions how it says he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men.
Yeah.
So it's like he humbled himself by, because that's what we were talking about, because this is called Christ's example of humility.
Mm-hmm.
But it was talking about how, like, he had the ability to say, like, oh, that he was God. I mean, he said that, but, like, still, he was born into being a man and still had to be tempted and still fought.
Out of humble beginnings.
Yeah.
Humble beginnings.
But,
yeah. That's so, and we're going to get to that. That's one of our verses. But yeah, it's true. But see, Jesus was real. I mean, think about it. Jesus never, he didn't have to equate himself with God. He just could go around doing godly things, and then everybody would point to him, right? Everybody would want to follow him and all that. But that wasn't part of the plan and how it all had to pan out. So biblical humility we think of as meekness. Gentleness, right? Those are the only two synonyms that basically you'll find. I even went to Strong's Concordance and looked up the instances where Jesus talks about the word that's translated humility and Paul, and it's meekness and gentleness. Those are the only two other synonyms. So we're going to spend the rest of our time on biblical humility. But I want you to think of this. In psychology, you just say the diagnosis and disorder of schizophrenia, right? There's positive symptoms and negative symptoms. So the positive symptoms are anything like... So this is normal. Anything positive, we're adding to, right? And negative takes away from. So... So a normal person, the baseline normal, they don't hear or see things that other people don't hear or see at the same time, right? Hallucinations. So voices are positive symptoms. Normal people, whenever they hear even a stupid dad joke, they'll at least grin, right? And kind of stupid chuckle like, oh yeah, you're a dad. But the negative symptom, that person will have a flat or blunted affect. In their head, they're going, yeah, that's kind of funny. I can appreciate the humor. But what you see on the outside is nothing. It's an absence of something as opposed to the positive symptoms, which are the addition of something. Right?
I see what you mean.
Okay? You tracking?
Mm-hmm.
So when I talk about that, that's exactly the same process and principle I'm talking about, right? in terms of our definition and understanding, synonyms, the application of it, and all that. So there's positive, and then there's negative. And all that means is addition, subtracted, or addition and absence of. So biblical humility starts with the same definition as worldly or dictionary humility, but it goes further, and we see examples and receive from instructions from Scripture. So
let's just dive in.
But I want to read this first. This is about the, this is one of three articles online that were fruitful. So humility is often characterized as genuine gratitude and a lack of arrogance, a modest view of oneself. However, the biblical definition of humility goes beyond this. Humility is a critical and continuous emphasis of godliness in the Bible, as we are called upon to be humble followers of Christ and trust in the wisdom and salvation of God. Biblical humility is grounded in the nature of God. So you stop and think about your character, the traits that you possess is based on God's character and traits. So that means our identity, the instructions, you know, there's great impact in that. So the other piece to this article I thought was interesting in the definition of biblical humility, he really talks about three different senses or the way we see humility. And one is not being proud or haughty. His word I disagree with. He says not arrogant or assertive. I don't think that's accurate. In my opinion, it's not arrogant or aggressive. Right? Because being assertive, not being assertive is being like a doormat. Right? And so just letting people dictate and drive all these things, but only maybe standing your ground when it's defending God or Christ or Scripture or whatever.
But I do feel like that is a new definition that's coming into our world as far as that's concerned. I feel like any kind of assertion is looked upon now as
a microaggression.
Microaggression.
Yeah, everybody's becoming so sensitive.
But I think there's also a happy medium, because assertiveness can sometimes come off as being opposite of humble. Can become off as being prideful. Like if you're like, let's say you're sharing the gospel with someone and they either have no understanding of it. You can't be passive in a way of not being straightforward with them. You can't be easy and being like, oh, your sin's okay. Like, you need to be assertive in a way of saying that your sin is, I mean, that you're bound for hell with sin. But, or if you're not with Christ, that you're bound for hell. Like, you're either alive or dead.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Assertive in that way, but not assertive in a way like, you're living like this, you're an idiot, why are you doing this?
I think it comes with your tone of voice.
Yeah. But.
Well, it's an outcrop of your view.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I know there are certain views out there that it's kind of like we're the only saved and everybody else outside of us is going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
We need to isolate. We need to build walls. We need to protect and defend against the evil that's out there. And, you know, that sort of thing. So if you walk onto a campus, if you were raised in that environment, you go to Sam Houston, all y'all are going to hell, all y'all are against me, you know, and then you're going to interact with others based on those beliefs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's tone, worldview, belief, teachings, how you apply scriptures, what scriptures you underline and which ones you ignore. You know, that sort of thing. So that's the first aspect, not proud or haughty, not arrogant or assertive or aggressive. Second one is reflecting, expressing, or offered in a spirit of deference or submission. So it's you know what Paul talks about, not thinking of yourself as highly, as you naturally want to, but think of others as better than you, right?
That again, Dave?
Yeah. Can you read that again, please?
Reflecting, so displaying, expressing or showing, or offered my intent in a spirit of deference or submission.
See, I have a problem with that. So it's almost like surrender,
mm-hmm.
because. You still can be humble and stand for truth and not surrender it. And submit to, because the world sees it as, you're not humble. Because if you were, you'd be submissive and surrendered. You wouldn't be standing up and saying truth is truth. Right? Because if you were, if you're a hypocrite. Because you say you're humble, but you're standing for something.
Well,
I wonder if they say, that's why they say the spirit. I mean, I just think of, like, through time, not even thinking of just, like, Christian examples, but, like, Gandhi. You know, would people say that he was, had a spirit of deference? Because he was standing strong for something, right? But he was sitting for it, actually. But he was standing strong for something. But he did have a spirit of deference about it. It was just, he wasn't putting it on anyone else. But this is where he stood on it, and he was, and it was a movement, you know. And so I just think about, it's the spirit. Like, he was so humble, and everyone received him as an, I don't think people looked at him as an aggressor.
Right.
But
you know,
I think it's the spirit behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of comes into play with that, too, with, like, personality and the situation.
Yeah, different people are able to do that. And also, I mean, he had the reputation already. He had the credibility already as being an humble man, you know, sold out for his beliefs.
Yeah, and so if you believe that mankind without Christ is doomed to hell,
mm-hmm.
and you are instructed to love, to be passive and surrendered and none, to not stand, but you can do it humbly, would not be loving, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
So
no,
it wouldn't
be loving to, like, not stand. I'm just wondering if we can still stand with the spirit of deference.
So I'm going through these audiobooks. And
I don't know. It's just, I'm not even saying I'm certain. I'm just,
it's the thought. Yeah.
So I'm going through it's a Mitch Rapp. He's a CIA guy. The whole series by Vince Flynn. I'm going through them on audiobooks. And I'm in one that's about 20 years old. And the storyline is about how the FBI doesn't have the guts to do the right thing, so the CIA had to step in there, and so we're monitoring all the mosques in Philadelphia, New York, and da da da. And, you know, we had to do it clandestine because all those congressmen up on the hill, you know, they're gonna come down hard on if the FBI did it. And there's one line in there that caught my attention. I heard it a couple days ago. He says, the congressmen will basically flip their lid if they ever learned that we're listening to what the Muslims are preaching. But what would happen if all of a sudden we listened to what the Southern Baptists were doing, right? If they did some terrorist act, we'd be all over them. But he says, but because Muslims are different, everybody kind of bows their knee to them. And I got to thinking, I mean, it kind of relates to all this sort of stuff. You know, it's like, because what is mainstream and normal, you can beat the tar out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anything that's separate, new, different, or a class, a separate protective class, you know, the small, you know, the 1% of the population, you know, everybody shows deference to that. And that is like, it kind of goes back to that unloving thing, and it goes back to the views, and are you going to be active, or are you just going to sit back and accept? Yeah, all the narrative that's getting put out there. So, their example of, okay, so reflecting, expressing, or offered in a spirit of deference or submission, their example was a humble apology. So, then the third aspect of biblical humility's definition is ranking low in a hierarchy or scale, not costly or luxurious. I mean, this is the quality of the stuff that's out there. I mean, it's confusing, it's not very clear, and, I mean, there's not a whole lot of scripture to back up these articles, right? And remember, this is one of only three that I found that had some fruit in it. So, you know, not costly or luxurious is humble.
Does that mean that people aren't very interested in the subject of humility?
I mean...
now, there
or
are...
Or it's not clear. And
yeah.
So
there are some let me be clear. When I say articles, I meant something that's based on, it has some scriptures in it, right?
Not just opinion based.
There's a whole bunch of
yeah.
people who I guess get their PhD out of the deal or something. They're just articles and they're just like blog posts, but they're put out there like,
yep.
I'm a Christian counselor. I'm a marriage and family therapist, and here's what biblical humility says.
I dub the humility.
Yeah, it's
wow.
It's interesting.
That's pretty interesting.
All right, so Daniel was humble, but that's for next week.
I mean, the word deference does mean humble submission and respect, by definition, by a Merriam-Webster definition.
You're deferring, yeah. So who was the chief example of humility? Obviously Christ, right? All right, so here's where we need to pull up some verses. Matthew 11:28-30.
I have that one.
Okay.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. 11:20, yeah. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Right,
so use the word gentle.
That's a gentleness, yeah. That's humility.
Mm-hmm. Gentle and lowly.
All right, Luke 14:11.
For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.
That kind of makes one version of humble sound like ooh, and the other one like yeah.
Yeah. So Philippians, we've already talked about, right? We'll skip that for the sake of time. Mark 10:45.
For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.
All right. So going back, that Matthew is about the rest giver. Right, Jesus is our rest giver. In Luke, it's exalting others. And then our Philippians, I guess you didn't read 7 and 8. But Paul talks about how Christ was obedient to the Father, even to death. Mm-hmm. Death on a cross. Not just death, but just this horrible way of it. So that is about submission and obedience. And then John, that's the... You can do nothing by yourself. That's being dependent on the Father, right? Being plugged into the source. And then Mark is serve. Jesus served, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. Not all, but for many. So these are some traits to Christ's humility that we see, right? Rest, obedience, service, dependence, and exalting others. Being other-centric, not so self-centric. So, you know, the hardest part to all this, really, I mean, looking at the articles and all that, looking at man's writing on humility is difficult. Mm-hmm. Looking at the Lord's writing on humility was overwhelming. Because the hardest part to this was sorting through these verses. Because there's just so many.
Pin down one definition, because it looks like a completion of a lot of things.
Yeah, it really is. And I kind of get why they're like this. It's kind of like, you know, I'm just going to take one little vein of the concept and run with it, and that's my article. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of get that. I don't really agree with it. But anyway, it's just there are so many verses.
Well, it's like, I mean, it's not by comparison, but the women's Bible study this year is the names of God. Mm-hmm. Knowing God by name. There's and the 53 Hebrew names of God are what's being studied. And so, I mean, the names of God mean so many different things.
Yeah.
So when you start digging into the word for a definition of something that Christ even used in his own language, it's pretty intensive.
Yeah, and a year in and out. All right, so Proverbs 3:5-6. Who is that?
I've got it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path.
All right, so acknowledge, submit, defer, right? We need to wrap up, huh?
You know the next one?
What next one?
Oh, no, it's okay. I've got this, the 37.
Oh,
you only need
seven. I thought you...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no, I have it. I thought you had it. I was like,
no,
I'm
stopping at six.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was like...
You got seven?
I looked over and I was like, you could
like,
spin it.
Well, that's like a life verse.
Yes!
Well,
yes,
that's like a life verse of mine.
It's
I'm
a
saying
memory
it with
verse.
You.
That,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. Okay, seven is just, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil.
Okay, so...
Why are we reading your book?
Yeah, right? I didn't know that one.
Your book?
My book.
Are you reading your book?
So let me back up. I failed to mention. What I ended up doing is I took all these verses and I just, as I digested it, I got to realizing they really apply to you and me and then the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. So there's our responsibility. There's what we need to be doing or how we need to be versus how God views these things, right? So we're going to look at the thermal versus for the responsibility, then civil versus of God's view. So that's... Whoop. All right, so that's that. And then the second part is Proverbs 22:4.
That's me. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life.
Okay. And then 1 Peter 5:8.
Fear of the Lord.
Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. All
right. So there's a cost to these things, right? So I'm kind of stretching that verse a hair, but applying it to how we operate on a daily basis and how we get our feelings out there. Instead, well, we're going to stop here and we'll pick up a God's view. In studying this, a guy came to my mind. And, you know, I'm trying to teach myself how to weld, right? So I watch a lot of YouTube. And weld.com is kind of like the place. And weld.com has a video series on YouTube. And the guy's name is Bob. And
of course.
I was about to say.
Bob is...
Weld.com.
Bob.
Yes.
Bob's personality is kind of like this, right? Every now and then he has a little bit of personality. But he's a great instructor and teacher. But Bob will say things, and if you've never watched one of his videos, and I showed you just like a 25-second clip, you'd think, man, this dude's arrogant, prideful. He is all that is the absence of humility. Because he'll say things like, hey, I've done this out on a job site, and I did a really good job of welding up these tanks, and blah, 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 and I did the pass. And you think, wow, he's an arrogant guy. But he's realistic. Think about, well, on these verses... From especially when we hit this next section, God's view, it's real.
Right.
It's not bloated. It's not self-serving. It's not like, I'm the best welder y'all have ever seen. The best welder I've ever seen. It's like Walmart. I mean, Coke is the number one soft drink in America. Mm-hmm. They can walk out and go, hey, we're the number one soft drink in America, y'all. And it's not them being arrogant. It's like, it's a fact. And so when Jesus is like, say, man, I'm God, right? You know what? I can't do nothing without the Father. I copy what the Father does, implying you need to copy what I do because what I do is based on what He does.
Mm-hmm. Not in an arrogant way, but that's also a loving way because He's trying to save them too. So it's like it's a loving way of being a servant.
Right, and He's responsible for His own reputation, so He's postured Himself for these 12 guys to devote their everything to Him. I mean, they died for Him. I mean, who would you die for, right? And think about, why would you die for that person? Because that person is somebody in your life that is X, right? Mm-hmm. And that you put them in that X because of who they are, your history together, your desires for the future, your offspring and your offspring's offspring. I mean, you know, there's all these ties that ties together, and you would die for that person. They did die for Christ. Christ did die because of His plan, but He did that for all of us. Even, you know, thousands of years before we were born. It's nuts to think about. So, yeah, humility has huge impact, and a proper understanding will help us do that thriving in Babylon. All right, so next week we'll pick up with God's view. Since everybody was gone, if everybody's here next week, I'll kind of quickly crank through all this stuff, and then we'll drive on with further depth. All right, so I'll close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for getting us here safely. I pray for our church family's safety, whether it be at the house or out on the road. Lord, I thank You that You do, give us a glimpse of the complexities of Your creation. I mean, all of this is because You created it. And, you know, You're not about chaos. You're not about confusion. But we know You love us, and we know that we have limited capacity to understand these things. And what You've chosen to reveal and how You've revealed it to us, Lord, is nothing new. It's age old, and we're still stuck on stupid and don't get it. And so, Lord, I pray that we keep Your truth in the forefront of our mind, that it impacts our everyday in terms of our thinking, our prayer life, and interpersonally, and may we have the greatest impact. for your kingdom, Lord. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
What kind of welding are you learning?
Recording. MIG or stick?